For each of the next four worship gatherings that we have, the first three will be Sunday mornings, and then the final one will be on Christmas Eve. We want to light candles to symbolize some of the things that we're going to be talking about together, and today we're focusing on hope, so I'm going to try to light this one without burning the church down. Hey, it worked. Now, it's very possible some of you in the front may breathe so hard it'll blow out. But if it does, it's just a parable of life. Don't let it worry you. It's okay. Our hope in Christ continues to burn. And I was very excited as I walked in the door and heard that we have some special guests with us today. I don't know if you're aware of this, but when you are a part of the Summit Faith family here, you are helping support mission work in 5 of the 7 continents around the world. The only two we hadn't gotten into are Australia and Antarctica. And I just don't sense God's leading yet in those areas yet. You just never know. But we're so thankful that we have 3 of those continents represented here today with missionaries that are serving full time. Barb Gorman is here. Barb, where are you? Because I just snuck in the back. Stand up so we can see you and recognize you. Barb is serving in Hungary. So she is representing part of Europe that we have ministry in. We also hear that Jim and Sharon Kirk are here from the North Africa area, seated there towards the back. Good to have you guys with us. That was a nice surprise to hear you were here. And then we knew another one was coming, and that's Promise Vaughn. You probably have not met her, a lot of you. Promise is sitting right here in this area. And she is serving in Papua New Guinea, so she represents part of Asia that we serve in, and she's here to hang out for a while, and you're going to be hearing from her in various venues in coming weeks. So we just welcome all of you guys with us today. When you think of hope, what do you think of? What things come to mind when you think of hope? Things like possessions, your bank account, retirement, a roof over your head, a car to drive, are those the things that fuel the hope in your heart and life? Do you think of people? Sometimes when we're asked to think about hope, we think about those special ones who are close to us, our family members, our special friends. Whenever the word hope is used in our vocabulary here in America, it's often used in the inkling of wishful thinking. We'll talk about something and then someone will say, well, I hope so, but there's not real conviction there. There's no real peace. There's no real foundation. They don't sound too sure about future hope. Christian hope, however, paints a completely different picture for us, one of stability, one of foundation. So what is the focus of our hope today? In fact, I'd rather state that question differently. I'd rather say, who is the source of our future hope? My hope is that your hope is focused on the Messiah, the one who came miraculously, the one who came into our world to show us the love of God. And as we look through the Old Testament, we see countless numbers of fulfilled prophecies, predictions of the coming of the Messiah. And even Jewish scholars will admit that the passage that was read earlier from Isaiah 11 is a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah. Unfortunately, many of those Jewish scholars don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I'm here to state that I really believe Jesus is the promised one. He is the Messiah that fulfills our hopes. He is the source of all of our hope. He is the best source of hope in the universe. So we're going to be talking a lot about him today. When we look at the backdrop of Isaiah 11, here's what we see in that chapter. Isaiah is predicting a very dark future for Judah. Why is that the case? The name Jesse that was mentioned in verse 1 of our text is a reference to all the kings of Judah. These were leaders who had come from the lineage of David, who is the son of Jesse. So you see the connection there. These kings are referred to collectively as a stump. Now that doesn't sound very attractive, does it? When we think of stump, we don't think of things very positive. Why are they referred to as a stump? Because basically for 600 years prior to the birth of Jesus, this is what we hear about. Very little from the lineage and the household of David. It's a very silent and dark spiritual time. And so the stump that is mentioned in our prophetic passage here in Isaiah 11 is really a negative picture. It is a picture of the lack of hope, of hopelessness instead of the hope. Here is an artist's rendering of Isaiah 11, which I really believe is descriptive, because there you see a stump, but out of that stump, something is growing. And that's what Isaiah prophesies in Isaiah 11, that out of this stump will grow hope. He's saying a Messiah is coming. A branch is coming out of that stump, and it's going to be bearing fruit. This image that you see here is a picture of hope, a prediction that the long-awaited Messiah will come, and he is the hope of the world. So today, this morning, let's be reminded again that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. You got it. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So let's look together at the hope that the Messiah brings to each one of us. Let's recognize, first of all, that God will bring much from not so much. Let that phrase stick with you today and in the future. God promises that he will bring much from not so much. Look at verse 1 of chapter 11 again. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch. Notice the capital B. A branch will bear fruit. Whenever the root of Jesse is mentioned, the connotation is always of a very humble beginning. Just like our Messiah. Remember? Born in Bethlehem. His earthly mother is probably a teenager. The one assigned to be his earthly father is a hard-working, blue-collar carpenter. Humble foundations. And when Jesus is born, surrounded by animals in his very surprising place of birth. Is that where the Messiah is supposed to be born? Yep, that's the prediction. Jesus has none of the attributes that our world today in our Western culture would call successful. What would that include? Famous parents? That didn't exist. That didn't happen. Wealth? Jesus basically homeless, wandering from place to place. Outstanding worldly secular education? Didn't happen in Jesus' life. How about status based on what the world would consider to be important? Jesus didn't have it. He didn't have any of these. And yet he bore unbelievable spiritual fruit. And that's what we're going to be talking about here today. What does that mean for us? Well, it means that if sometimes you feel like a stump, worthless, not really finding any purpose in life, not finding fulfillment and the peace and the joy that can come in this life, then there's hope for you. And there's hope for me as well. Sometimes we can doubt whether or not God can ever do anything significant in us and through us. That's a lie from the evil one. The Messiah has come to show you that you have purpose in life, that there's something special for your future. I believe there is divine purpose in the way that Jesus Christ comes into our world as a human being. Think about it. Born to an unmarried teenager, engaged to Joseph the carpenter. If Jesus had come through the Pharaoh's household, if he had grown up in the palace of the king of his era, if he had been born into a religious leader's home, a Sadducee, a Pharisee, somebody else like that, you and I would look at those stories and we would be impressed at where he came from, but we would also say this, I can't relate to that. From the Pharaoh, from the king, from a religious leader's home, I can't relate. I don't see the potential for me. I don't see the hope for me. I don't measure up. That's what so many of us would say if our Messiah had come in this popular worldly way. But Jesus brings life from a stump. That means there's hope for every one of us. When there's despair, he brings hope. When our lives seem meaningless, he brings purpose into it. He shows us why we're here. Jesus Christ brings new dreams when our bubbles have burst, maybe because of conflict or harm or hurt that we've experienced. He replaces hate that is so common in our world today with love, with an unconditional godly love. And what does he bring out of death? He orchestrates life. Not only an abundant life, but also eternal life. In verses 2 and 3, Isaiah shares some very strong character traits that come from our Messiah, Jesus Christ. Here is our hope in that. What is our hope? Not only that he will bring much out of not so much, but also that as I follow Christ, and as you follow him, as we go through that process, we might be able, in some small but earth-shattering way, to reflect his character, his eternal traits. And as that happens, to bring great glory to his name. The Messiah's visit brings hope that I can reflect his character. And notice that it doesn't say create the qualities of his character. That is such good news for us. We don't have to make this happen. We can't make that life happen. But as we follow Christ, as we are connected to him and his power source, we have the potential to reflect his character. And look at how his character is described in verses 2 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. That's the Messiah. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Folks, these basically 1.5 verses together could be a message series. I could spend 4 weeks talking about these characters. We're going to dig a little deep here this morning. And here's what I invite you to do. Sometimes as we look at all these together in one package like we're doing, we can't cover them very deeply. But what I pray will happen is you hear one or two of them, that the Spirit will help you to focus on that part of your Christian life today. If just one of them is a point of reflection and leads to change living, then that can be a very good thing. And here's what we're going to use as a little illustration of that. We're going to use the picture of the menorah. Candle, a symbol of Jewishness, and especially these qualities that are described here. The menorah symbolizes the burning bush that's described by Moses and seen by Moses when he is on Mount Horeb. You can actually read about that in Exodus 25, verses 31 through 40. God commands Moses to make a candlestick that has one main stem, the center stem that you see in this picture, as well as a picture of the 7 characteristics that are included about God. And the center stem represents one of them. And then the three on each side, the other six total characteristics of God. Some pictures of the menorah, if you're to Google this and go online, you'll see some pictures of the menorah that have nine stems, the center plus four on each side. I don't believe that's a biblical picture of it based on what we read in Exodus chapter 25. The number seven is often used in the Bible to describe perfection. And here we're going to see some of the qualities of our perfect God, some of these beautiful qualities that are a description of the coming Messiah. And here's what's exciting for us. As we connect with Christ, we can also reflect these qualities. Again, which one is the Holy Spirit leading you to focus on? The main stem in the center represents the Spirit of God. And then the Spirit connects us with all of these other qualities. The beginning of verse 2 says that the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Messiah. And then we'll look at the next six qualities in pairs. The first pair of qualities are wisdom and discernment. You'll see this list in your outline. And they are represented by the two bottom stems that are on the menorah. The Spirit in the middle, wisdom and discernment. Now, I want you to think about Jesus with me. Jesus doesn't just come and talk about words of wisdom. He is the source of wisdom. It is from him that we find all the wisdom we need. We are told in the Word that as followers of Christ, we can have the mind of Christ. Now, let that sink in. You talk about power source. We can actually be connected with his thinking. James 1:5 says that if any of us lack wisdom, that we can ask of God, and he will give to all of us generously, and he will not blame us for asking for wisdom. And then add to that discernment. The discernment or understanding could be another word that we use, means the ability or the insight into knowing how things work and what's going on deep down in the hearts of people around us. You see, when Jesus lived on this planet, he didn't have to ask people about what they were thinking about or what their priorities were. He knew what was going on in their hearts right away. And he knows what's going on in your heart right now. In John 2, verse 25, we read, speaking of Jesus, John says, he did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Folks, he knows what's in you right now. He knows why you're here. He knows your heart. He knows your motive in everything. Jesus is the source of all wisdom that we will ever need for eternity. And he knows us inside out. Because he loves us. And the closer we grow to him, you know what's going to happen? We are going to be able to use these qualities in our everyday living. We are going to have connection to his wisdom and to his discernment. That's his gift to those of us who are following him. So what else does Isaiah say about the coming Messiah? Here are two more qualities. He says he gives good advice. Plus, he has the power to live in a right way. So we're adding that now to the middle stem of the menorah. The Spirit in the middle, wisdom and discernment, add to it his advice, and in addition to that, power for living. Jesus can give perfect advice. Do you need it today? Do you need guidance and wisdom about something going on in your life? He can do that. Jesus also lived a perfect, righteous life. He never sinned. And again, as his followers, you and I have access to these qualities. We can help others by giving them advice. Parents, grandparents, do you want to be effective in those unique roles that God has given you? Connect powerfully with Jesus Christ, and he will give you the advice that you need to pass on to those in your generation. Do you have friends that might need some help today? Maybe you can be God's source of advice for them. Maybe it can happen in the workplace, men and women, where you can go and make an impact there, representing Christ in the work environment. God can use you. You see, some have the power to help. They're in positions of authority, but they don't really care about people. Do you? Do you care about them as God does? Some care. They really want to do something, but they're not connected with God. They don't have the power to help. But if you are, you do have that, just as Jesus had both. He cares, and he has the power to help. And if you walk closely with Jesus, you're also going to do the very same thing. Here's the third set of qualities. Again, which one is the Holy Spirit focusing on for you here this morning? Deeper knowledge of God and a deeper respect for God. Able to know him more and love and respect him more. These qualities are represented by the top stems of the menorah candle. Knowing God and respecting God. Hey, Jesus knows everything. He is all-knowing. He and the Father are one. He lived in total submission to the will of God the Father when he was a human being on this planet. And through Jesus Christ, you and I can know God. We can have that relationship with him. But here's something else that's very exciting about your walk with him. No matter how long you hang out here and how much you desperately seek to follow and know God, you will never know him completely on this side of eternity. Now, I find that exciting because that means we are on a never-ending journey of getting to know God. That no matter how much more we learn about him, there is more to know. We have more room to grow. There's more that we can learn from him. You see, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And his ways are not our ways. He's beyond us. And that's what makes Christianity so attractive. There's so much more still to learn about our incredible God. And here's what I believe will happen as a byproduct of growing in him. The closer we get to him, the greater respect we're going to have for him. A holy fear of God. We'll be more amazed by him and in him. And what makes that happen? I'm just going to tell you what makes that happen for me. What helps me to know him more? What helps me to respect him in an even greater way? Time with him. Time. Investing time. Getting to know him. You see, David went through a tough time in his walk with God. In fact, it was one of the toughest times in his life. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, during that time, the Amalekites have attacked him and his allies. And 1 Samuel 30, verses 3 and 4 reveals what happens. Listen to this. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire. So wiped out their homes, their possessions. And then the next part of that verse, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. Can you imagine that day? All the family gone. So the next sentence, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to cry. You ever been that dismayed before? That you don't even have enough energy to weep again? What a graphic picture of the loss of hope, right? David is at the end. People started blaming David for what went wrong. And they started talking about how as soon as they saw him, they were going to kill him by stoning him. They were going to kill their king. But then we read the last part of verse 6. And I hope you'll take this with you today. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Do you hear that? David found strength in the Lord his God. I cannot endorse this enough for you. I can't invite you enough times to do this. Hope grows from time invested with God. So I want to invite you to do that in this busy Christmas season. Dive deeper into His Word than you've ever dived before. Get alone with God. Get away from people. Spend time individually with Him. Listen to some great music that will uplift and encourage you. Pray often. And as you pray, do more listening than you do talking, because God has something He wants to share with you. As you walk outside on a beautiful day like we've had today and yesterday, admire God and praise Him through His creation, through His awesome power. Help somebody else who has needs. Wow, that'll turn your life around and give you more hope than ever before. Meditate on things for which you're grateful. There's so many things for which we can give thanks. And I invite you, connect with other believers. Don't isolate yourself. I was just reminded of that last night when Chris and I were invited to one of the Connection class gatherings. I just watched how much fun they had together and how they have built relationships. And there are people there who've been there for years and others months, and they were all connecting. If you're not connected there, I really invite you to do that. You'll find great hope with other believers. Time with God energizes hope and deepens your respect for Him. Just look again at all these marvelous qualities that can be yours through Christ. And as you grow, they will grow. A third element of hope, and this kind of wraps it up here this morning, is to know that with all the uncertainties of life, no matter what happens in San Bernardino or anywhere, God is going to have the final word. I want you to encourage you with that hope that is ours in the gospel. God will have the last word. Listen to these strong words again from verse 3 and following. He will not judge by what He sees with His eyes, or decide by what He hears with His ears, but with righteousness He will judge the needy. With justice He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of His mouth. With the breath of His lips He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be His belt, and faithfulness the sash around His waist. You see, during Jesus' earthly ministry here, as He brings hope to the world, He saw and heard beyond the physical, beyond just the superficial. He made decisions based on perfect righteousness and justice. What if you and I live that way? What if you and I based our lives on the righteousness and justice of Jesus Christ? What if we treated the needy and the poor and the lost and the disengaged the same way that Jesus did, with righteousness and justice? Notice the two words there, righteousness and justice, not self-righteousness and not being judgmental towards others. It's the opposite of those two words. We easily confuse those two. What did Jesus do when He was here? Jesus sits down with the lost and the unreached, with the hungry and the needy. And in spite of being morally perfect and perfectly righteous in every way, He never rubbed it in to those who were hurting and lost. The only ones that He spoke strong words to were those who thought they were better than others, the church people of His day. Let's make sure that we don't carry that spirit of self-righteousness out into this world. But for the grace of God, we would be right there. Amen? Let's thank Him for His grace. He brings hope to those who don't have so much hope. So where is yours today? Where is the focus of your hope? Where is it sitting? Where is it living? My prayer is that your hope is centered on the Messiah, the one who came our way and showed us the perfect love of God. He is the living Word, and He will have the final word. We can trust him. And the bottom line today is that we're either for him or against him. Which are you? There's no in between. No middle ground. Do you know the faithful and righteous one, the Messiah? Is your hope centered strongly in him? I like what someone wrote a few years ago entitled A Song in the Night. In the heat of the day, I have Jesus. For a rest on the way, I have Jesus. In the calm of the morn, when a new day is born, in the midnight hour, when dark clouds lower, for each need of my heart, I have Jesus. For all of my life, I have Jesus. Mid clamor and strife, I have Jesus. For protection from harm and all sudden alarm, for provision, for need, for his spirit to lead, for each moment I live, I have Jesus. He will never depart. I have Jesus. To meet Satan's dart, that's good, isn't it? I have Jesus. He holds my weak hand and gives strength to stand. He pours from his throne plenteous grace for his own. So I sing and I praise precious Jesus. So our hope is never for something. It's not to be centered on positive thinking or on changing circumstances, because those will always go up and down. As followers of Christ, our ultimate hope is in the third day. The third day. On the third day, the stone was rolled away and it was empty. Jesus' tomb was empty. On the third day, our Savior defeated sin and death, wiped out, gone, and we can be pure in him. On the third day, a crucified carpenter's son came back to life, proving himself as the Messiah. And may 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 be your encouragement as we close out this message. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. There is our hope. Father, that's what we want to focus on today. Not an I hope so, but through our resurrected Messiah, an I know so. We know that we serve a risen Savior. I just pray now that for those that are struggling, finding hope, that they'll look now more than ever to our Messiah, the one who came to give us this living hope. Lord, I pray that you'll also help us to be looking out with the eyes of our Savior to those here and in other places around the world who have not yet grasped the hope of Jesus Christ. Maybe we'll be the ones to take that news to them. Speak to us all, Father. What are we to do now that we are grounded in the hope of the gospel? Show us your plan. And it's through Christ we pray. Amen.